Miss Goodman, Reel One. And if I could ask you first of all, Mr. Goodman, something about your family background. This would be in Germany before the war.
Yes.
Could you tell me something about your family and the sort of life you would have had as a child?
Yes, I was born on the 20th of February 1923 in Frankfurt, the son of Siegfried Goodman, who was a banker. He came from a family of bankers in Stuttgart, and he was transferred to Frankfurt when the Stuttgart Bank was taken over by one of the larger German banks. He then was in private banking and had very active in German commercial industrial life. I remember relatively little except for a happy childhood in a middle class home. In Frankfurt, we belonged to a Jewish community and participated not only in Jewish but in general communal life.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I was an only child. I was born in the year of the inflation, the economic circumstances in those years, in fact, were very, very difficult, and I think this was one of the decisive factors why my parents only had one child. You know,
your education, where you went to school at this time?
Yes, I went first to primary school and then a secondary school. This was the Philanthropien, which in fact was belonged to the Jewish community, because when I was meant to go to a general secondary school, Nazism had arrived, Hitler, and it was no longer possible to go to to go to ordinary schools. Really difficult then to go to be accepted for an ordinary high school, and I therefore my parents sent me to the Philanthropien, which was an excellent communal school and must have had literally probably more than several hundred students, at least. It was a large school.
When do you think you were first aware of anti-Semitism and the sort of nature of Hitler's regime? How old would you have been?
Well, certainly 1933, but probably earlier in 31, at the age of, I would say, 8, first, because German political campaigning took the form of street demonstrations. It took the form of posters. And certainly from 1933 onwards, there was not a person, be he Jew or Gentile, in Germany who was not aware of what was happening. I was attacked by other children at times in the street, but I must say that to the fear of my parents, already at the age of 10 at the time, I started to express opinions, and fought back to it. I mean, I remember very well one incident when I had been invited by a friend who was connected with the Zeppelin, which was the huge airships, and I was invited to come there, and at the entrance of Frankfurt Airport, area, right, I was on a bicycle, I was stopped, right, and I was asked what my religion was. And when I said I was Jewish, that Jews are not allowed. Right? And this I remember, you know, so well. Right? My parents, right, felt, right, that with that what happened could not really happen. Also, the warning signs were of course there, but they decided that, right, and a great sacrifice to themselves in 1936 to send me to school in England. Right? And so I arrived in England on the 5th of October.
Were you consulted about that, you know, the fact that you were going to be sent to England? Did you know much about it before you actually went? Did they talk to you about it?
Oh, yes, my father talked to me about it.
What did they tell you?
He said he feared that I would not be able to get the right education in the climate as it existed at the time. That he feared, right, that Hitler had succeeded in perverting, right, in perverting Germany, outlook of people. He felt it amongst colleagues, right, who with whom he had been very close before. You know, people drifted away, right, out of fear. Friends drifted away out of fear, right, because, right, because they were under pressure, right, in their careers, right, and it was so permeated right throughout society, you know, that, right, it took courage to resist it. So, right,
how did you feel about going away to England? Did you know anything about England?
Very little, except that I had some English lessons, but I knew very little English when I arrived at school. Right? But nevertheless...
Would you have come up to England as a sort of lone, independent boy, or did you go with a convoy, a group of children?
No, by myself. Right? And I travelled together with someone to England, but otherwise by myself. I think a friend of my parents was travelling to England at the same time. I came long as far as London, and then I was actually met by a relative in London, and he put me on a train to Brighton, where I was met by the school, it was a school called Whittingham College. It does no longer exist today.
How did you feel about leaving your parents? Well, do you have any idea that it was going to be, a long time?
One just had to face it, you know. It was not, right. A lot of other people were in a similar position, you know. So, right, I don't know. You know, it's very difficult to describe how I felt at that time. I really have to reflect on it. Right? I was, for the first year, a very lonely little boy at school in England. Right? You know, so it's, right, I must say, right, I was not taken by boarding schools, and I don't think I would have ever sent any of my children to boarding school. It was a very, monastic existence, right? And so the headmaster and some of the teaching staff did everything possible to make me welcome. But at the beginning, of course, it was a strange environment. But you know, I acclimatized, in fact, very quickly.
Would it have been a Jewish boarding school?
Yes, it was a Jewish school, but which tried to synthesize cultures. In fact, it took some of, to me, the less welcome characteristics of public schools. You know, So, right? It was modeling this on a synthesis of cultures.
And were there many German people from Germany there?
No, there were one or two, right? But not that many.
A few. Yes, whereabouts in Brighton would that have been?
In Sarandon Road. This is near Preston Park, not far from Preston Park. It was a very nice modern building there, and excellent facilities. But during the war, the school was evacuated to Wales, came back to Brighton after the war, but then only for another few years. It could not make ends meet.
Well, what sort of education, looking back, would you say you had there? You know, you've explained about the sort of public school ethos.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, the actual education, were you getting a good one?
Well, the education was excellent. The teaching was very good, because within 3 years, I passed Cambridge matriculation, which with grades which entitled me to go to university, would have entitled me to go to university if what happened had not happened. So this was in. So I matriculated in December 1939, and had to leave school then. Of course, there was no money, because for the first 6 months or the last 6 months of my school stay, in fact, the school paid for me, because my parents could. The war had started in 1939, and it became extremely difficult.
Yes, I was going to ask you, sort of arriving when you did in 1936, were you keeping in constant touch with your parents?
Oh, yes. My parents emigrated from Germany to Holland in 1937, unfortunately, to Holland, because in 1943 they were sent, they were arrested, taken to Westerbork camp in the Netherlands, near Amsterdam, and then put on a train and killed on arrival, murdered on arrival in gas chambers in a camp called Sobibor. This doesn't have the prominence of Auschwitz, because that camp was razed to the ground. There was not anything left of it by the Germans in order to destroy evidence.
I believe that was the camp where there was a mass escape, wasn't there, in the war, Sobibor?
Yes.
I was keeping the story of your parents, yes. You were hearing from them, were you? Getting letters, regular letters?
Well, I got letters via Switzerland or via other countries after Holland had been occupied, and that was in May 1940. And whilst I was in Australia, I also received letters around about where I had family in the United States, before the United States came into the war. I did hear from my parents.
Yes. I wonder, how you were sort of feeling about things, because would you have heard about events like Kristallnacht and what was happening?
Oh, that was in 1938. Yes, but the Kristallnacht was in 1938, of course. I mean, one heard about it. My parents had left by then, but you heard it. You heard it from friends. It was in the newspaper. It was very well publicized. It was on the radio.
Yes, also from what you have said earlier, the way your parents spoke to you before you came to England, it would seem that you were a very mature young man. And, I wondered if you were wondering if your parents could come to England, why your parents didn't actually make that final leap and come to England. Were you aware of any problem associated with that?
Yes, because my father was offered a job in Amsterdam, and so he went to Amsterdam, and of course people didn't believe what was happening. you know, it was so indescribable. It just, you know, they thought, right, they would be saved in the Netherlands. They didn't believe that there would be war, right, that the Germans would invade the Netherlands. You know this, right? I mean, it was very difficult, right, in those years, really, to project what was going to happen. And right, although right, Hitler wrote it, you know, in Mein Kampf, right, people didn't believe what was in it. People here didn't believe what was in it.
How about Neville Chamberlain, you know, and the sort of Munich agreements?
Yes.
Did you, I wondered if you were sort of, how you reacted to that, when Neville Chamberlain made peace with Hitler over the dismemberment of Czechoslovakia. If you would have felt differently than a lot of English people did. You know, the relief was felt, wasn't it, by a lot of people?
There was relief, right, felt, right? And of course I was then, right, at school, you know, I was in an environment, right, where it was, of course, also actively discussed, right, and in debating societies and groups, you know, and, right, and there was no, and it was felt that there was no political realism, right, at all. Right? We thought that Mr. Chamberlain was a very weak prime minister, right? And, right, it was a tragedy because, you know, right, it was all so superficial. And of course, right, it was also felt that, right, if Western governments much earlier on, right, had been more resistant, that is, in the early 30s, right, that this Hitler would not have succeeded the way he did.
Towards the end of your time at school,
yes,
were you finding that there were more boys from Germany coming over? Were there more of you, would you say?
At the school, probably a few more, you know, but it was not big numbers, you know. It was the school was, you know, it was probably 10%, I should think, you know, of the children at school, if that.
How kind were the local people in Brighton to you? Because I know there's a fairly big Jewish population in Brighton.
Yes.
Were they, you know, did they sort of give you hospitality as a young Jewish boy from Germany? Were you offered any sort of hospitality?
Yes, but you must remember that the school. Must remember that a boarding school is very inward-looking in itself, you know, and we were not, we only were able to go out at weekends, right, and right, that was very restricted.
How about sort of Shabbos, Friday night,
yes,
and the Jewish festivals? Would you have gone to the synagogues locally?
Oh, there was a synagogue at the school. There were services at the school. So, right, the school tried, right, to convey also Jewish culture. So from that, in that respect, there were services on Friday evening and on Saturday morning, religious services.
So you didn't actually go into many Jewish homes in Brighton, am I right?
Yes, one or two, right, but not many, because there were homes associated with, right, the headmaster and the teachers and so, but the teachers actually were probably 90% non-Jewish. So, right, but Friday evenings, the school had services first, and then school dinner. So, right.
Do you remember the day that war did break out?
Yes.
About that?
Yes, right. We were called by the headmaster, right, into the assembly rooms, right, in the hall, and we listened to the declaration of war on the radio, and the headmaster then spoke. This I remember, and of course, right, it was at that time quite in the first weeks or two was a very phony war, and first air raids, but I can't remember quite the timing now, right? First air raids, right, on Hamburg. There was a school colleague of mine killed, right? And you know, when I thought, right, of the name I would choose, when I was asked to change my name in the army during the war, right, I changed it to Dennis. Right? Why? Because this was one of the was someone from school who had been killed in the raid on Hamburg. This is how it came about.
Well, what was
I chose the name Herman.
Herman, and did you change your surname as well?
Yes, the spelling. It was changed from Gutmann to Goodman. This was where I was asked to change my name by my commanding officer, and right, I was given, I think, 2 hours to decide on the name I would choose.
Not everyone has that opportunity to change their names. Was it difficult? You know, did you feel you were changing your history and identity as well?
Well, you know, in retrospect, right, in retrospect, right, I was sorry that I didn't change it back after the war because it interrupts a family tradition. You know, so I never liked Herman, it's true. I don't know. Right? But it would, you know, the name dates back, right, to a small village in southern Germany to about, 16th century, you know, we've traced it, you know, so it's, right, I felt from a traditional point of view, I ought to have changed it back, but I didn't know, you know, and, right, so, but that was war.
Yes, so, you know, with the outbreak of war, did this increase in any way your anxiety about your parents?
Oh, yes, of course, yes, sure. Sure, but I visited my parents in the Netherlands just a week or two before the outbreak of war. Yes. I went to the Netherlands on holidays.
Yes, how were they? How were your parents then? How did you find them?
Oh, they were. My father had been very fortunate to go into a different occupation, but this had also something to do with family, which we had. The Netherlands, and where he had actually had to take over the management of an office which had been run by an uncle of mine who had died. Although it was a very different field, and he had to work very hard to learn it, I think they were reasonably happy in the Netherlands. It was a tremendous change for him. It was, you know, it's also very psychologically very difficult, you know, because if you had been a member of a community, of a German community as such, your friends covered all walks of life and in different fields, and then suddenly to be confronted that you are no longer a member of the community, that you have been ejected by that community. Okay? And the process was quite rapid, but in stages, you know, so that one always felt, well, you know, they cannot go on with this. The nation has to revolt against it, but it didn't revolt because the elements of fear were always there. You know, I mean, if you meet anyone today of the older German generation and they will tell you that they didn't know what was happening, this is, you know, they may even believe it, because they relegated it into the subconscious, and they have hardly passed it on to their children. You know, and but there was no one, you know, who did not know. You know, their friends disappeared. People just, you know, gone.
So really, this takes us, doesn't it, to you as a young man getting your matriculation and leaving school.
Yes.
Yes, with your parents still in Holland, so far as you knew.
Yes. No, my parents were in Holland, in Amsterdam, and then I was, you know, before the invasion of the Netherlands, I was in touch with them. Continuously, and then actually I have letters from my parents, which I have I just was looking at Swift just now before you came, and so I was in regular correspondence with my parents until May 1939, when Germans invaded the Netherlands. I was at that time, after I left school,
I was wondering if you had any advice as to a career or any help in getting a job at this time.
Yes, through my parents and through friends of my parents, I got a job in a handbag manufacturing company in Lancashire called Universal Leather Goods. I worked there from February until May 1940.
Yes. Where did you live when you were working in Lancashire?
With a family, I remember how homes were in those days. I mean, heating in the bathroom was completely out. It was completely icy, absolutely icy cold, when I first arrived. But fortunately, then we went into the spring. And I liked the North. I felt the people were very friendly, I made a lot of friends in the factory, and it was a relatively happy period, with the exception that, I felt, that, I was making really any progress, and I hoped to be more, It was isolated, Blackburn at the time, it's a little bit more than it is today. Today there are no distances anymore, If you take all the Lancashire towns, they're all close together because of transport. In those days, it wasn't quite like that. I remember going, you went to cinema, I remember going to cinema in Bolton, and what did we pay? There are six old pence.
Two and a half new pence.
Yes. So
did you have any sort of link at this time with any Jewish refugee organisations to sort of help you at all? Can you remember anyone?
When I came back to London, Woburn House, the Central British Fund, who did sterling work, and actually they still do very good work today.
But when you went, from school to your first job, did you have any help then from any organisation?
No, I didn't need any help for that. I don't forget, at that time, I was 16. I was a very independent young man. So there are certain things which one remembers. I played truant just when I was at school the year before. For instance, I went to theatre. I on my way back from holiday in Holland, I stopped in London overnight, and I went to the theatre. I remember to the day that I saw Anna Neagle in a screen, Victoria. It was at the Garrick Theatre. It was absolutely superb, and so, and the acting always remained with me. That's probably the first play actually I had seen on the London stage as a boy, of 15.
Did you ever, once war had started, experience any hostility because you were German?
Not really. But the interesting thing is that foreign accents come back when you're older, at that time, you could hardly, you couldn't be, have been able to distinguish it then. But in 1900, and then, I felt, you may have come across occasionally, but never been present, etc.